As we gather for a brief time of reflection this morning, I would invite you to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 25 as we read verses 8 through 10 and then Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 20 through 25. Leviticus 25, 8 to 10, Deuteronomy 6, 20 to 25. You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return every one of you to your property and every one of you to your family. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, a reminder, starting in verse 20. When your children ask you in time to come, what is the meaning of the decrees and statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case. If we diligently observe this entire commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us, we will be in the right. So, when we think about the word jubilee, what comes to mind?
Israel.
What other things come to mind when somebody says to you, jubilee? Cheerfulness, happiness, jubilation, celebration, singing, all kinds of things in that whole sense of happiness and jubilation that we have. Next comes the question, what would cause such jubilation in our lives? Well, for some, perhaps it's picking up the winning lottery ticket off the ground where somebody dropped it, right? For others, perhaps what brings jubilation are weddings, new births. For some, it would be the cure of disease or the remission of a disease within one's life. For others, maybe it would be to become debt-free. You know, I kept hoping when Y2K was coming around that there would be some kind of computer glitch and my mortgage would be marked paid and I would never have to worry about that again. But it didn't happen. But for many, that debt and that mounting debt crowds in and keeps us from being free and jubilant. And yet there are many for whom jubilee or jubilation or happiness is difficult to imagine, much less to attain. You know, this has been a hard year, 2016, for many people. It's been a hard year for many within our own fellowship, as well as across our nation and our world. For many people, there have been issues with deaths of loved ones. For some, marital issues. For many, various diseases and illnesses or accidents. For some, there have been loss of jobs. For others, ongoing sins or being tied to behaviors that are not good. And on we could go. And yet, we are told throughout the biblical text that God wishes for us to be joyous. God wishes for us to have peace and happiness. He wants us to have a jubilee within our lives. To be set free. To be set free from all of those things which hold us down. Those things which keep us from attaining the good that God wishes for us. Sometimes we bring those things upon ourselves. Sometimes they come from outside. And yet, even in the middle of those difficult times, God wants us to be free. God wants to give us the liberty to have jubilee, to have happiness, even in spite of those particular circumstances. We read in Deuteronomy, a reminder that in the middle of all of the terrible slavery in Egypt and the bondage that went with that, and even the bondage that followed them in the wilderness, they didn't just leave it all behind in Egypt once they crossed over the sea. God was present wanting to give jubilee and wanting to give liberty. Though there were certain conditions for that. Now, the year of Jubilee, or the Jubilee that is declared in Leviticus, and of which Hebrews were reminded in other passages, was a special observance. As we read a while ago, every 50th year was a year of Jubilee in Israel. Now, every 7 years, slaves had an opportunity to be set free. But in that 50th year, there were other things that took place to make that such a time of jubilation and expectation. Typically, a shofar was blown for many observances, but in this particular case, the year of Jubilee, it was a yobel, a special trumpet, and it would be blown almost daily throughout that year, declaring and reminding folks that this was a year of jubilee, a year of being set at liberty. Every time there was a celebration, beginning with the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the one day of the year where you could be forgiven for all the sins you had committed and confessed to for the past year. Now, early on, Yom Kippur was set up as at the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah began, and then Yom Kippur was 8 days later, and that was in the fall. However, later as the calendar shifted and other observances were placed in there, actually Yom Kippur falls in the 7th month of the new calendar. But then again, that's, I think, significant as well, because 7 is the number of wholeness, the number of completion. And so this celebration really begins, this year of Jubilee, not in the 1st month of the year, but in the 7th month of the year, and runs until the 7th month of the next year, that 50th year, and begins with Yom Kippur. The primary theme for that year, though, was liberty under the Lord. And within the Jewish documents, and within the Jewish celebrations, people were reminded that this liberty wasn't licensed to do anything you wanted to. It was liberty to live under the guidance of the Lord and under His commands, and to find happiness and jubilation and reason for celebration because one is living according to those statutes. And yet this liberty was not something that was just for the Jews. It was something that was to be declared throughout all the land. Now, Jews were not allowed to own Jewish slaves, but you could become an indentured servant to another Jewish family. And so during this time, those indentured servants, their debt would be wiped clean. They could now go free. That doesn't mean they had to work for 50 years. This was the 50th year of that since the last Jubilee. But note, it wasn't just the Jewish indentured servants that were set free. This jubilee, this liberty was for all inhabitants, including those who were not Jewish, who could be owned as slaves, and whose debts were wiped clean. The land belonged to God. All of life belonged to God. And so, within this whole idea, true liberty could only be found from God. And the liberty given was based on relationship with God. In fact, the people were reminded that apart from God, there is no freedom. Apart from God's rules and commands, there is no true freedom to be the very best that God intends. Now, we do also know that every seventh year the land was to lay fallow. Even the land was given a time of rest. It was not to be tilled or planted, and everyone lived off whatever the land produced, which also reminded them that it is not their efforts that caused the crops. It came from God. It was a recognition that it is God who ultimately provides not only physical needs, but emotional and spiritual needs as well. But during the time of Jubilee, something more important and special happened to the land. Anyone tell me what happened in that 50th year when it came to property? People are set free, but the property reverted back to the original owner. In other words, you may have had to sell your property to pay your debts, but in the year of Jubilee, there was cause for celebration because once again the land was restored back to you, given back to you, so that you could freely then move forward and provide. All slaves had freedom. And the idea rests upon the fact that reconciliation with all people would open the way and help for true liberty under God to become a reality. Now you'll notice that within Judaism and within the texts and within what I have said already, most everything focuses on the physical realm. The physical realm of freedom. And it's primarily economic. Freedom from slavery, freedom from debt. After 7 years, debt slaves could go forth. But as I've said, this was mandated in the year of Jubilee. In fact, Leviticus 25:10 reads, "You shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants." Guess what? Don't know if you're aware or not, but if you go and look at the Liberty Bell, that verse, that saying is inscribed on the Liberty Bell in our country. But some texts, such as Deuteronomy chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 42 and chapter 58, move from economic indebtedness and economic freedom to something even more important. Now, I'm not belittling the economic freedom. Not at all. But they move to something much more important. From economic indebtedness to the understanding that true liberty from bondage to earthly masters means movement into a bonded servitude with God. It is only God that can truly liberate from other masters, and not just physical, but those psychological masters, those things that go on within our minds that limit us, that tie us to fear, as well as spiritual masters that keep us from being holy. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y, what God wishes for us to be. By the way, when Jesus gives his first sermon in his public ministry, Jesus speaks similarly, saying that he has come to bring a message of jubilee. When he says to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, he is speaking of a year of jubilee, a year of freedom, of being set free, as he said, the lame walking, the blind seeing, the captives and prisoners being set free. Most of his audience thought Ah, we're talking about releasing prisoners from prison. We're talking about physically healing the blind, making the lame to walk. And while those miracles did happen, Jesus, I think, was speaking about deeper bonds and a deeper and greater freedom. To walk in the way of God more freely and more openly where we have done so lamely, if at all. To be able for our spiritual blindness to be removed so that we might see more of God's expectation in the biblical text and in God's messages to us. To be freed from the things that make us prisoners and captives. And so, we come to this time reminded as children of God, asking those questions, what do we do in this upcoming year with all of its uncertainty? January 1st, 2017. We don't know what the coming year holds. Not socially, not politically, not economically, and certainly not emotionally or spiritually. At least we wonder. So how do we have a year of jubilee with all of the uncertainty that is before us and remembering all of the things that have come in the year prior? I would suggest that we ask the question as the children do. What do these mean? And that we find in that answer that when we keep the Lord's statutes and commandments and when we are faithful, then we will indeed find ourselves alive because of God. We will find ourselves well because of God. And we do so when we follow Him more closely, when we come regularly to study and worship, when we commit ourselves to being here and with each other. Perhaps seeking to put aside the debt treadmill and overcome those things that keep us scared and tied down. To give up addictive behaviors, whatever they may be, that keep us from living life fully. To pledge and to commit to reducing hurtful speech and hurtful actions. To vow to be at liberty from those things which keep us from true servitude in Jesus Christ. And to let Jesus give us aid as we work together. For you see, that year of Jubilee didn't mean that everyone was now free to go and sit by and watch the rest of the world go by. What it meant was that everyone was free now to return to living a life which would not only be pleasing to God, but which would aid and benefit the whole nation. And so we work together with Him and with each other so that we might truly find this year a year of Jubilee. So, the question comes to me, do you really want Jubilee and liberty? Well, it can start now, but the choice is up to you. May we pray. Gracious God, we so desire freedom. We covet it, especially in our country. We speak of the freedom to worship. To worship according to our conscience, to worship as we please. Help us to make our lives of worship pleasing to you. which will then give us true liberty. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things, and for whose help we ask. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 289. It's entitled Adoration, but you will recognize what is listed in the bulletin, the first line. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And in the beauty of that holiness, I hope that we will truly find liberty and jubilee. Number 289.